pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the words that we have just heard from your scriptures. And we pray that they may work within us, challenging us where we need to be challenged, comforting us where we need to be comforted. And we pray, O Lord, that in them we may hear your truth for us as individuals and as your church. As we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Recently, I came across this story. Now, I don't believe it's true, but I believe it very possibly could be true in our society today. While checking his bags at an airport, a man became indignant with the employee who was handling his luggage. And for several minutes, he belittled the man and criticized his every move. Surprisingly, the curbside porter didn't seem troubled by the man's verbal abuse. And after the angry man entered the airport, a woman approached the porter and asked, "How do you put up with such injustice?" And the young man said, "Oh, it's quite easy. That guy's going to New York, but I'm sending his bags to Brazil." While we laugh at that and think, "Oh, what a great revenge," we have to recognize that there is a lot of anger in our society today. Every time we read the newspaper or turn on the news or check our social media, we are being met with a barrage of anger. Over the past 2 weeks that we've watched the political convention, both sides have expressed anger at the other side. Everybody is angry at someone. And it's not just an anger that says bad things to people. But when we hear about people who say something or do something that others don't like, and then that person gets met with a barrage of death threats on their phone or on their social media. Our society today has become very divisive. I'm not telling you anything new by saying that. I think we all recognize that. And it would be easy to believe that the words from our Romans passage today would be like a match in a hurricane. Totally useless. But if we open ourselves to what Paul is saying, I think we find it's much stronger. Now, at first, it seems that Paul would agree to a certain point with the righteous anger expressed by many. He writes, "Hate what is evil. Hate what is evil." And there's a lot of hating going on today. I'm sure that many reading this passage might stop there and say, "Yeah, hate what is evil." But let's look a little further in the passage. In verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them." In verse 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." Verse 20, "No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." It's as simple as that, and it's as hard as that. You see, we feel our hurt and anger. It's often very visceral. But we don't feel the hurt of others. We don't feel the hurt of those that we deem to be evil people. We don't know why they've come to the point where they are. I'm thinking, too, of people like Dr. Fauci of the National Institute of Health in the Division of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. We've all heard him and seen him. One of the foremost authorities on the pandemic. And yet, he has become so hated by certain segments of our society because of what he said. And they didn't like what he said. He's received numerous death threats. But it's as simple as people who wronged us in some way, and we want to make them pay for what they did or said. We've begun to realize by Frederick Buechner, Christian writer and novelist, writes about this kind of anger in his book, Wishful Thinking, Transformed by Thorns. He writes, of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances, long past. To roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontation still to come. To savor the last toothsome morsel, both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. But the chief drawback, Buechner says, is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. And Paul, even though he doesn't have a degree in psychology or anything like that, recognizes or understands that anger hurts us more than others. It is, however, not something just acknowledged by Paul and Jesus and other Christians, but it's also acknowledged by most ancient religions of our world. Buddhists, for instance, have a term, namaste or namaste. And Presbyterian pastor Alan Graham writes about this Buddhist namaste. Namaste is a way of acknowledging that everyone we meet has all the same goodness that is in us. And when we acknowledge that, it enables us to relate to others with genuine compassion. This way of looking at things also has implications for our attitude toward evil. If we can recognize that others have all the goodness that we have, we also have to recognize that we have the same capacity for evil as those whose actions we abhor. You know, for years, we white people have said we deplore racism. But it's only been the past several years that we have begun to recognize the part that our white privilege plays in racism. recognizing the evil within us, recognizing the white privilege that we enjoy, is very difficult for us. Because we're human, and we don't want to think about those kinds of things within us. We don't want to imagine that we're capable of those things. I'm reminded of earlier in Romans in chapter 3, verse 23, Paul writes, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All have sinned, even himself. And the world can only be transformed when we have compassion for all of our brothers and sisters in the human race. Because we all are fallen and we all have good within us. That compassion is born out of the recognition that we have just as much propensity for evil and hurt as those we are angry. I want to end with a thought by Reverend Alan Brim. I'm not sure there's a calling in human experience that's more challenging than embracing those we consider evil with compassion. I'm not sure it's possible to do that without denying ourselves, setting aside all the selfish ego needs that we have. Only when we can get outside of ourselves can we truly relate to those who do evil in our world in a way that has a chance of overcoming evil with good. Only when we can embrace those who do evil in our world with genuine love, can we hope to respond to what they do in a way that will bring real change. Responding to violence with forgiveness. Responding to hatred with compassion. Responding to hostility with peace. When we do, we have the chance not to change not only what they do, but more importantly, who they are. As we embrace those who do evil, we have the chance to make a change that can create peace and justice and freedom. And I would add, in the process, we transform ourselves into better persons. If we can do that, if we can make attempts at that, then I think maybe our bag will get to New York along with us. Amen.